Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. We begin our Advent season this morning with a prayer of lament. A lament is a kind of prayer in which one brings one's questions, one's grievances, even accusations to God. Our passage today is from the section of Isaiah which falls whenever the people have been in exile but returned home to Jerusalem. They have been in Babylon for several generations, and upon their return, they had great hope for what life would be like when they got back to their homeland, when they got back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and reestablish their national and religious life. And as often happens with high expectations, the people's dreams of prosperity and ease and security did not come true. At least they did not come true as quickly as they would have liked. The returnees quarreled with those who had never left. The temple was not getting rebuilt, and life was difficult. Their expectations were not met, hope was waning, and people felt abandoned by God. Our passage today is part of a longer prayer of lament in which the writer questions God, cries out, and expresses honest and painful emotions, all the while seeking hope and assurance in the great story of God's saving grace. So I invite you to hear Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You see those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry and we sinned because you hid yourself. We transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, that you would come down, open the heavens, and be with us. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Show up, God. Show up. Don't hide in your heavens. We all know you could be here with us making a difference. Where are you? Where are you? We need you here. We are suffering. We are alone. Do something. Now would be a good time to intervene. We are not good on our own. Rip open the heavens. Show up. Many of us in our lives have gone through a time when we have prayed a prayer like this. Some of us may be going through a time like that now. We all know what it is to suffer, to have the fabric of our lives torn apart, for grief to overwhelm us, for uncertainty to rule our thoughts. Many, if not all of us, have had those moments when we have said life is not the way it is supposed to be. I did not plan it to be this way. This is not what I want. How can this be happening? We lament. We cry out. We shout. Please, God, show up. If we have the energy to look at the news these days, we know the world is not as we want it to be. The world is not as it should be. For thousands of years, it seems, we have struggled for the world to be as God would want it. For millennia upon millennia, we have segregated ourselves according to skin tones, religion, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, gifts, talents, afflictions. Those are the biggies. We all find small ways to separate ourselves from someone else. We may not claim to fall into the categories of someone who may be racist or whatever, but we still have our own categories of separation and judgment, ways that we find not to love one another. We find that people more and more, or maybe it's just in the news more and more, that people are victims of fear and rage and hatred. In the news right now, the buzz of the day is misogyny. Century upon century of misogynistic practices and ideas have come to the forefront as the public dialogue turns to issues of assault and abuse in the workplace. We see what happens when power is unchecked and people are victimized and traumatized. We look at the news and we think this is not what the world should be. We lament and we cry, God, open your heavens. Make the mountains tremble. We are not good on our own. We need you, and we need you now. At other times, we can sit back and watch as the Western church, as we know it, wanes. We wonder, where do we go from here? We thought we were doing everything right. We were taught to be the church in a particular way, and we've done that. So why are we declining? Why are people not coming to church anymore? We're nice people. We try. We work to do the right thing time and time again. We lament. We cry out. Don't turn your back on us, God. Don't be far away. Be with us in our suffering, in our fears, in our challenges, in our confusion. Don't let us be discouraged any longer. Don't let us fumble in the darkness. God, you have a part in this too. Hear our lament. Change the circumstances for the suffering. Heal the wounds of this world. Build up your church. Help us to be strong. Help us to thrive. Thankfully, God is great enough to handle our advice as well as our lamentations. When we meet great challenges in our lives, there is definitely a time to rest in that despair. It takes time to gather strength, to overcome grief, to heal enough to look up and away from our pain. The good news is, the prophets remind us suffering is not the end of the story. There is also hope in lamentations. There is hope in what God has done, what God is doing and will do. When Isaiah and the other prophets were on the verge of being lost in the terrible, they stopped to remember hope. They stop to remember the great stories of faith of what God has done. God, we remember when you did marvelous things, when your presence shook the mountains, when you parted the seas, when you brought us back home from exile. We remember there has been no other God like you and never will be. We remember your promises and we know you keep them. We hope in you, O God, even when it is difficult to see anything but despair. Friends, we must remember that we are part of that great story of faith, the great story of God and creation and humanity and all that is around us. We must remember the story has not ended. It did not end whenever the people returned back from exile and found life to be a difficult struggle. God remained, and the story continued. We must remember God works through the ages and not always on our own schedule. We want things fixed right now. We wanted things fixed then. But God works through the ages. God is still working in humanity. And that is where we put our hope. That as we remember the ancient stories of faith and the stories of faith that we share within this congregation and this faith community, we see where to put our hope. And that hope is in God. His hope, our hope, is in the God who claims us as his children. The prophet's hope and our hope rests in God, who is the potter who shapes and reshapes us into vessels of God's own choosing. Our hope lies in the God of the past, the present, and the future, who never abandons this relationship, even when we do. We think about the ways that God has reshaped us, has reshaped humanity, has brought us to a place where we see more fully those things that separate us so that we can cope with them, we can deal with them, we can call them out and say we will no longer be a people who divides itself, but we will be drawn together as one in Christ who is our hope. There will always be things to divide us and keep us separate because we're different people. But in the hope of Jesus Christ, in the hope of Advent, in the hope of Christmas, in the hope of the lament, we recount the many times when God has intervened and has changed us as a people, as a creation, to step out and do miraculous things because God is working through us. The hope that we have is in the reconciliation of God to us and to us with one another. This is the hope we have, that God is continuing to work, that God is not finished, and someday, as we prepare our hearts, there will be a time when there is nothing to separate us one from another, when peace and justice will rule the day, when Christ will say it is time for those weapons to become instruments of peace to feed the world. But we must not lose hope in the days and in the sins around us. We must not become so discouraged that we give up. We have work to do because we are part of this great story of faith. We must not lose our hope, but we must hope in God and remember that God is with us, showing us the way, teaching us time and again how to be present in this world, in those things that don't turn out the way we want them to turn out, and to rejoice in the things that are the happy accidents where we see God at work. Friends, this is why we begin the season of Advent with a lament. Because we know things are not as they should be, that we may not be who and what we should be. But in this time of Advent, we remember God and who we are with God. We read the ancient stories and learn how the faithful, time and time again, have lost their way, their identity, and their hope. But we also recognize that God did not forsake them, that in time hope was found again, identity was found again, and purpose became apparent as God shaped and reshaped and reshapes us again. Even as we lament the state of the world or the state of our lives, we can remember the work God has done and the work that God is still doing. But we must open our eyes and see where God is alive and at work, inside the church and outside the church. We can see where God is calling us to participate in the great story of faith, to bring hope to those who need it. And perhaps we can also see how God has given us hope through others who have stood with us even when we are overcome with despair. We can see how God has given courage to his people over the centuries to continue on, even when God seems silent. We can see how in and through Christ, God works to bring the ultimate hope of peace and reconciliation to the world. So as we begin this Advent season, we light a candle of hope. Like those who have gone before us, we know there are times when that light seems awfully dim, but we also know our hope rests not in our own power, but in the living God who is with us, whose birth we prepare to celebrate. So in this season, may we embrace hope beyond hope in our God who reigns over us, but also walks with us. Amen.